Do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Do not envy the wicked. Do not desire their company, for their hearts plot violence, and their lips talk about making trouble. Do not lurk like a thief near the house of the righteous. Do not plunder their dwelling place. For though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again, but the wicked stumble when calamity strikes. Do not gloat when your enemy falls, when they stumble. Do not let your heart rejoice, for the Lord will see and disapprove and turn his wrath away from them. Do not fret because of evildoers or be envious of the wicked, for the evildoer has no future hope, and the lamp of the wicked will be snuffed out. Fear the Lord and the King, my son, and do not join with rebellious officials, for those two will send sudden destruction on them, and who knows what calamities.
It's a great privilege for me to stand here again, though sometimes I often forget it as I stand up for the first time and feel the nerves. It's a great privilege to hold out God's word to you this lunchtime. Well done for navigating tube strikes and storms to be here today. If you've been here with us for the past 2 weeks, you will know that we're in the middle of a series in Proverbs. Philip Sudell, who's been speaking for the last 2 weeks, has been looking with us at God's wisdom through the book of Proverbs. A couple of weeks ago, he started by looking at wisdom itself. Last week, at what Proverbs has to say about wealth. And unfortunately, Philip's unable to be with us this week. But next week, he'll be back as we touch on what wisdom has to say about wine and alcohol. I think it will help you if you have your sheet with you, because there will be printed verses which we're looking at today. And there's also an outline on the other side which will help you see where we're headed today. So once again, we're back in the classroom of wisdom. This is a father instructing his young son on how to live in this world, or wise teacher discipling his protege. And he's not just imparting his own wisdom, but it is a wisdom that has as its foundation a framework, a mindset, if you like, that knows that this is the world that God has made, this is the world that God has ordered. And the overarching framework that helps us understand Proverbs is this: it is the Lord God who created this world, and therefore it's the Lord God who knows how best to live rightly in it. And Proverbs, as we've seen in the last 2 weeks, is a collection of wisdom that makes us think hard about how God's law, reflecting his character, how that applies to our day-to-day living. Unfortunately, sometimes we treat the Bible, and in particular we treat something like the book of Proverbs, like sayings from a fortune cookie, don't we? You know what I mean. For those of us who grew up watching Star Wars like I did, I often get this unhelpful image when I read Proverbs of Yoda teaching Luke Skywalker the way of the Force. And we think they are sayings that sound nice and mystical, but it's really psychobabble and nothing to do with the real world. But that's not the wisdom we're looking at here. That's not the wisdom Proverbs. It's not abstract. In fact, it tells us how God's moral character, how God's law is applied to our day-to-day living. And one of the commentators puts it like this. One of the commentators on Proverbs put this like, Proverbs is godliness in working clothes. And I love that image. Godliness in working clothes. So biblical wisdom is not a mystical force that's kind of out there and all kind of zen-like. In fact, it tells us how to live when we're in our suit and tie in our office. It tells us how to live when we're at home wearing our t-shirt and jeans. It tells us how to live when we're washing the dishes in our apron. It's God's wisdom wearing our working clothes. And we are to pay attention. We are to incline our ear. We are to listen hard. And this lunchtime, we're looking at what Proverbs has to say about wickedness, or more specifically, how God's people respond to the wicked. You may recall that we've been looking at this section from Proverbs 22 to 24, subtitled The 30 Sayings of the Wise. And as Philip mentioned, Proverbs takes a slightly semi-scattergun approach, providing wisdom on many different aspects of life. So we're just looking at a number of verses and drawing them together and looking at this theme of wickedness from the 30 sayings. Now, wicked, I don't know what you think of wickedness, but it sounds a bit kind of like an antiquated term to our modern ears, isn't it? So I looked up the definition of wicked this week, and it came out with two very different meanings. So one definition in the dictionary said, very simply, evil, morally wrong. But interestingly, side by side with it, there is another definition that simply said, playfully mischievous. It's telling, isn't it? It's easy for us to underplay wickedness. It's striking how uncomfortable we are, or we've become, in saying that a particular action or a particular person is wicked. But the Bible has no problem presenting it as such. It's clear, the Bible says, that we live in a moral universe. And in the order that God has created, there's a definite right and there's a definite wrong as defined by Him. So what then? What does Proverbs have to tell us about wickedness and the wicked? Well, look at point one, the warnings that Proverbs give. Look with me at the different warnings. Do you see the repeated refrain there? So chapter 23, verse 17, do not. Chapter 24, verse 1, do not. And so on and so forth, do not, do not. But the question is this, do not what? Well, the instruction here is very simple, actually. The exhortation is this, do not join in with the wicked. Seems simple, isn't it? Seems simple. But as I was mulling over this over the last couple of weeks, as I was turning them over in my head when I was preparing this, I was kind of wondering, why does the writer repeat the same instruction over and over again? Do not, do not, do not. You may know that Proverbs covers similar themes over and over again from different angles. So it's no surprise that it's the same here, that again, he's looking at this kind of instruction repeatedly. And like young children, we have short memories, don't we? We need to have it drummed in. Do not, do not, do not. But I also want us to see that Proverbs actually gives a number of slightly different warnings about how we respond to the wicked. They're all closely linked. And I've put them down on the outline there so you can see them on your sheet. One, do not envy the wicked. Two, do not lurk, or in our translation puts, do not lie with the wicked. And thirdly, do not fret because of the wicked. So firstly, do not envy the wicked. You see that in chapter 23, verse 17. Do not let your heart envy sinners. Or chapter 24, verse 1. Do not envy the wicked. And write down again, verse 19. Do not fret because of evildoers, or be envious of the wicked. And you see how the wicked are described. Their hearts plot violence. Their lips talk about making trouble. And we may be thinking, well, why would we want to associate with them? Why would we envy them? The truth is this, actually, the lure of the wicked is actually a powerful one. We should not be naive about this. The way of the wicked can be very attractive. Envy is quite powerful, isn't it? A few weeks ago, I was at a housewarming party, and I ended up talking to a dot-com millionaire, a real-life dot-com millionaire. I thought such people only existed in movies, but I felt like I was in an Nespresso advert, you know, the one where George Clooney and beautiful models glide around, and it's all really smooth, and everyone is so smooth. Yeah. So there I was talking to this incredibly tan man who has made his millions, and he told me that he's retired at the age of 29, having sold his company to some Americans in San Francisco for millions, and he now has the luxury of traveling the world and doing what he likes. And I had to catch myself a little, because as I was talking to him and he was talking about his new startups and his adventures photographing wildlife in exotic places, well, my heart was going, well, I wish I had invented some killer app where I can sell for millions. I wish I had his life. I wish, I wish, I wish. And Proverbs knows this, that we don't only just envy in general, but we envy in particular the wicked. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 73. So it's all through the Bible. The psalmist in Psalm 73 says, I my feet have stumbled, for I was envious of the arrogant when I see the prosperity of the wicked. This is what the wicked are like, the psalmist goes on to say. Always free of care, they go on amassing wealth. Free of care. If you have no regard for God, and you've no concern for others or any responsibilities, well, you can live as you like, can't you? And that can be very attractive. Why not be ruthless in your pursuit of good things in this life? Why not look out for number one? Especially when it seems like there are no consequences to what you do. I don't know whether you've watched the recent Leonardo DiCaprio film, The Wolf of Wall Street. Anyone? I've not. But I gather it's about the life of a stockbroker called Jordan Belfort. So I had did a quick look up who Jordan Belfort was. Now, Jordan Belfort, I learned, earned a small fortune in a kind of, you know, those boiler room share scams. And in fact, together with a friend, he created another company called, impressively, Stratton Oakmont. But despite the respectable name, it really is a share scandal scam, really. And Forbes dubs Jordan the Wolf of Wall Street. He was pretty immoral. He didn't care what people thought. But he seemed to have it all. Fast cars, beautiful women, money to spare. And soon, this is what people said, hundreds of ambitious young financiers, bright graduates from the best schools, flocked to his company. So they knew his scheme was a wicked scheme, but they wanted what he had. They were envious. So Proverbs needs to give us this strong warning: do not envy the wicked. Watch yourself. It's all too easy to be tempted, to be attracted, to be lured by the wicked. And if we don't watch ourselves, well, envy becomes desire, and desire becomes wanting to associate with them, and wanting to associate to them means we start listening to them, and then we start thinking they are the ones with wisdom, they are the wise ones, they are the shrewd ones. And it's just a slippery slope from envy to joining in with the wicked. So look with me at the next warning, verse 15 to 16 of chapter 24. Do not lurk like a thief near the house of the righteous. Do not plunder their house. Or as another translation puts it, lie not with the wicked against the dwelling of the righteous. You see, it's a short road from being envious of the wicked to becoming like the wicked ourselves. And the picture here is of an outlaw or robber lying in wait in ambush against the unwary, isn't it? Lying near a house waiting for the owner to go out so that they can plunder it dry. And Proverbs says, don't be part of that same gang of robbers. Don't join in. Don't perpetuate injustice like them. Again, we may think, well, you know, we clearly know what's right and what's wrong. We're not going to end up like robbers. We're not like thieves. But imagine this. I don't know what it was like for you at high school. But I remember for me that I was in boarding school, and there was this constant desire to be in with the crowd, isn't it? Peer pressure is a powerful thing. None of us want to be excluded. And peer pressure can make you do all sorts of stupid things, really. In a survey done in America in 2010 of a group of teenagers, it says that nearly half of those surveyed admitted that they picked on someone else simply because their friend picked on that person. So although we may think we've outgrown our teenage years, I suspect that right the way through our adult life, we're still constantly feeling the pressure to conform or to be thought of well by others. Think of the LIBOR scandal rocking our banks today. I don't think the traders who colluded in the scandal went into their job from day one thinking that they were going to manipulate the market. But perhaps over the years, as they see colleagues earning bigger and bigger bonuses, and making more and more trading profits by massaging a figure here, massaging a figure there, maybe it's all too easy to think, well, maybe I should join them. Maybe I can get away with it. No one will know. I'll just add a small percentage here, small percentage there, lurking like a thief, hiding behind shadows as they plunder bit by bit. Or think of how easy it is to join the office gossip against someone. You know, let's pick up that someone. He's not very popular anyway. It's just a bit of banter, a bit of laugh. Everyone's in on it. But before you know it, you're part of that same gang, unjustly maligning a colleague just because he or she's not in with you. And Proverbs says this: lie not with the wicked. Do not lurk like a thief near the house of the righteous. Do not plunder their house. So wisdom tells us not to envy, not to join in with the wicked. And thirdly, wisdom tells us not to fret because of the wicked, verse 19 of chapter 24. You see, as we see the prosperity of the wicked sometimes in this life, as we see people get away with morally dubious schemes, it's very easy to despair. So we fret, we are anxious, we think that they're going to get away with it. We worry that this world is out of God's control. We start doubting the moral order of God, we start doubting the goodness of God. Do you see how all these things are closely linked? You see, as we fret about the wicked and because of what they seem to get away with, we start wondering whether God is good. As we doubt God's goodness and his moral ordering of the universe, we become envious because they seem to have it better than us. And as we become envious, we desire. As we desire, we end up joining them. So Proverbs says this, the wise thing to do is to guard yourself against the wicked. Do not envy, do not lie with them, do not fret because of them. But why? Why? Well, point two, let's look at the reason why. Those of us with young children will know that they're never satisfied with a simple warning or a simple instruction. They want to know why. Please don't play with the oven. Why? Please don't pour out all the cream. Why? Can you tidy your room, please? Why? You know what I have to deal with my toddler this week, sir. Why is it that when life seems unfair anyway, why is it wise for us not to join in with the wicked? Well, the reason is this. Proverbs tells us to look forward, to the age to come. Look again at verse 17 and 18. You see, for the righteous, there is surely a future hope for them. Their hope will not be cut off. There is surely a future hope for you. Your hope will not be cut off. Note the certainty, it's a sure future hope. But for the wicked, what happens to the wicked? Well, it's the exact opposite, isn't it? So verse 20, do not envy the evildoer because the evildoer has no future hope. And Proverbs tells us if we are wise, you will not play the short-term game. Now, of course, we know from reality that in this world, those who are righteous are not necessarily rewarded for it. Doing the right thing might actually get you into trouble, especially if you are in the minority. And Proverbs recognize that. Do you see that? The wicked do not always get their comeuppance in their here and now. And in fact, the righteous stumble. We see that in verse 17. Verse 16. For though the righteous fall and stumble seven times. So the righteous will stumble sometimes in this life. But the difference is this. Ultimately, the righteous, though they stumble seven times, they rise again. It's like a dramatic climax, isn't it, in a kind of sports movie. You know, you have the underdog hero who's kind of right at the end of his tether. He looks beaten. He's down on his knees again and again. But right at the end, he's raised again and he finishes the race. Well, wisdom tells us that God's people have a different perspective. We look forward, and as our perspectives shift, we see that life here and now is only a short blip in eternity. So we play the long-term game. And wisdom says this, ultimately, in the long term, the wicked has no future hope. You see the image there, verse 20 again. The evildoer has no future hope, and the lamp of the wicked will be snuffed out. The lamp will be snuffed out. It's like a small candle, isn't it, on a birthday cake that's blown out, like a whiff of breath. Now, they seem to be shining brightly now in this life, but when judgment falls, they'll be blown out, just like that. See, when they face calamity, Proverbs says, in the end, they will stumble. And how do we know that? Well, notice the very last verse printed on your sheet. The Lord God and his King, he will send sudden destruction on the rebellious. He will bring calamities on them. See, the Lord will judge justly on the final day. It may not look like it now, but as our perspective shifts towards the ultimate end, we know that it is wise to be on the right side of the Lord. And to join in with the wicked only invites in destruction, and that is pure foolishness. And finally, if we know that way, the way of the wicked is foolishness and ends only in destruction, well, how then are we to live now? What's the alternative to joining in with the wicked? Now, I'm not a Hebrew scholar by any means, but when I was preparing for this, I heard a very insightful comment from another pastor who's commenting on these verses. You see, in Hebrew, the word for envy or jealous has the same root word as zeal or zealous. So, in a sense, the meaning is to do with what we desire, what our hearts desire. What we want. And in a sense, it's a neutral word. Whether it's positive or negative depends on its context, depends on what we desire. The point is this, our hearts are always desiring something. And the solution is not to tell our hearts, well, don't desire. It's not to be impassive, like kind of stoic. But in fact, it's to desire the right thing. Let's look at it again at the first saying in Proverbs. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. Or 24 verse 20, chapter 24 verse 21. Fear the Lord and the King, my son, and do not join with rebellious officials. So we can paraphrase it like this. Don't be zealous for the wicked. Instead, be zealous for the Lord. The way to stop envying sinners, the way to prevent yourself from being led astray by wickedness, the way to wisdom, is to channel your heart's desire to the right thing. It's to orientate our heart so that we desire and we have zeal for fear of the Lord. Now, fear of the Lord is not a cowering fear. It's a reverent awe that acknowledges and worships that God is God, that God has created this universe, that God has ordered this universe in a moral way according to his character. It is to trust in him and his goodness. It is to love him with our hearts and our souls and our minds. And that is a strapline of Proverbs all throughout, isn't it? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we're told not just to look forward to the end and see that the ultimate end of wickedness is destruction, but we're also told to look upwards to see where real wisdom lies, to fear the Lord and his King. But there's a sting in the tail. Now, as we pay attention to what Proverbs has to say about the wicked, we may be thinking that the wicked are kind of out there. Here are the evildoers, and here are the wicked. Here's me trying to fence against them. But listen to what Jesus says in Mark chapter 7, verse 20 to 23. You have it printed on your sheet as well, right at the bottom. This is Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. See, he says this: what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For it is from within, it is from out of a person's heart that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. So really, who are the wicked? Well, listen again to the description of Proverbs about the wicked. They are those whose hearts plot violence. They are those whose lips make trouble. They are those who are rebellious against the Lord and the King. They are those who are godless. But do you see what Jesus says here? You see, the wickedness is not just out there, but out of a person's own heart comes evil thoughts. And the language is very similar, isn't it? Every person's heart is violent, is inclined to theft, to envy, to folly. In other words, by nature, our hearts are prone to wickedness. By nature, we cannot be wise. And we know that, don't we? We know that often we do not fear the Lord. So we're forced to ask, well, who then can be wise? Who can heed this wisdom of Proverbs? And we're told then in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 1:30, the Apostle Paul writes this: it is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Listen to that again. Christ Jesus has become for us wisdom from God. Our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. You see, none of us are wise. But Jesus is the perfect wise King. He's the one whose heart is pure. He's the one who does not desire the company of sinners. He's the one who does not lurk with like a thief. He's the one who does not fret, but entrusts himself fully to God the Father, who judges justly. And as we put our trust in him, he becomes for us the wisdom from God. He becomes our righteousness. It is in Jesus that our hearts can orientate itself rightly. It is in Jesus that our hearts can break its inclination to wickedness. It is in Jesus that we can be zealous for the fear of the Lord. Why is it that though the righteous stumble seven times, though they fall seven times, they can rise again? Not because of their own inherent strength, but because in the end, God will raise them again if they put their trust in Christ, their wisdom from God. So what does wisdom, what does Proverbs have to tell us about wickedness? Well, it says, don't participate in wickedness. Don't envy the wicked. Do not join in with rebellious officials. They have no future hope. No, instead, fear the Lord and his King. That is what it means to be wise. And let me finish with this great promise that's given to us in the New Testament. See, this is what the Apostle James writes at the end of the day. He says this: if any of us think that we lack wisdom, and we may be thinking as we read Proverbs that indeed we are foolish, we are inclined towards wickedness, we do envy the wicked. Well, James says this in his letter: if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us see the folly of desiring wickedness and of rebelling against the Lord and his King. Thank you that if we trust Jesus, he becomes for us the wisdom of God. And help us live wise lives that are zealous for fear of the Lord.